Genesis chapter number 5, as our young people are being dismissed. Genesis chapter 5 in your Bible here. Going to read a couple of verses here out of chapter 5. We're going to go back then to chapter number 3, and we're going to read one verse in chapter number 3. Genesis 5, if you would, look at verse number 22. Verse number 22, the Bible says, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters." Now, of course, we are still living or reading about the days where the lifespan of mankind was unthinkable to our standards today. This is, by the way, this is before the flood. This is prior to God breaking up the firmament in heaven, allowing the waters that separated the light of the sun from the earth. That would keep the harmful radiation from penetrating through our atmosphere and getting to us, that which deteriorates our body, the radiation from the sun, a planet that is placed exactly where God wanted it. The amount of radiation given off of the sun is perfect for sustaining life. You won't find it on any other planet. I don't care how hard you look, how many satellites they send there. You'll not find anything else other than this earth that is the same. But here we have, again, Enoch at this point, living at this particular juncture, 300 years, begetting sons and daughters. All of the days, verse 23, we'll just read on through verse number 24. All of the days of Enoch were 365 years. And the Bible says that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I'm going to stop right there. I'll read to you from Genesis 3 in just a moment. But the title of my message I want to bring this morning is, "Where Does God Walk?" The Bible here says, Enoch walked with God. We're going to read other scripture where it talks about walking with God, the admonition to walk with God. But I need us to find out, we need to ask the question, where does God walk? Where would we be able to walk with Him if we are to walk with Him? Let's have a word of prayer. We'll look at this in a moment after our special. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You that we can walk with You. Lord, I thank You so much that You give us Scripture in the Bible that substantiates the fact that we are expected to walk with You. Lord, I thank You, Lord, that You give me that liberty. Lord, not only do I get to come before You, not only do I get to enter into the throne room, Lord, not only do I get to kneel before You and put my petition before You and thank You for what You've given, but Lord, I then in turn, Lord, I get to walk with You. Dear God, I pray You would help us to know where it is that You walk, Lord, that we might be able to follow that same path. And bless our time together, Lord. I pray that You would just help us to see Scripture as You've given it. We ask all of these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. I am sure you have heard individuals walk with God. A preacher that might say, walk with God, find God's will and walk with God. Several years ago, I got to thinking, where is it then that God walks? If I am to walk with God, where does God walk? We read there in Genesis 5 about Enoch walking with God. We read back in Genesis 3, you can turn back there, look at verse number 8. In Genesis 3, verse number 8, it says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." God had come down at that point. Now listen, we understand Genesis 3:1 through the first several verses had already happened. Eve had already now fallen and taken Adam down with her. The fall of man was complete at that point. And so now here God comes in the cool of the morning, as He would every morning, I'm sure, to walk with His creation, to walk with Adam and Eve, and hey, He wasn't able to find them. Now, it's not that God didn't know that they were hiding in the trees. It's not that God couldn't find them because of He didn't have omniscience at that point. It's not the fact that He didn't have omnipresence at that point. It's not that God came down, scratched His head and said, "Well, where did they go? I have no idea where my creation is at. Adam, Adam, wherefore art thou?" And no, God knew right where they were, but He called after them because He wanted them to know where they were. See, God wants us to know where we're at. He already knows where we're at. But He wants me to know where I'm at. He wants you to know where you are. Because so often we're not where God wants us to be. So often we're not where God expects for us to be.
Sometimes your children, you'll see them do something. You'll see them go somewhere. Maybe they're in the house and they're sneaking into an area that you told, you're expecting guests to come over, and you told them, stay out of this room. We vacuumed it. We've dusted it. It's clean. Don't go in there. And you watch them from a distance and you see them go in there. Or you tell them to keep their hands out of the cookie jar. And as mama's preparing the meal, she looks over and she sees Johnny reaching up for the cookie jar. She watches him to see if he's going to catch himself. My brother, just older than me, told me years ago that when his oldest daughter, when Samantha was a little girl, she had a fascination, as many children do, with the electrical outlets in the wall. And she would always touch, not bad, she wouldn't put anything in them, but she would always use, she would touch them. And they would discipline her, they would get after her and teach her, no, don't do that. And Martin said that it's funny to watch Samantha, because she'd go over there and she'd look at the outlet and she'd look at me and she'd put her hand out and she'd start crying because she knew she was going to get in trouble. But she wanted to do it anyway. And it seems like that's how we are. You know, we know what the Lord expects, and the Lord says, thou shalt not. And here we've got this electrical outlet that we may not know exactly how damaging it's going to be, but we know God's already told us we shouldn't. But yet we try to anyway, and we know the whole time that God's telling us, and we know that we're going to be disciplined for it. Oh, that we would wisen up, that we would grow up. I thank the Lord that Samantha doesn't play with outlets anymore, man. Could you imagine 22-year-old young lady married now, and over there and her husband, Sean, what's his name? Can't remember. Colby, thank you. He's only my nephew by marriage. Cole. I certainly didn't choose him. No. Could you imagine, though, Colby having to say, Samantha, now your daddy taught you to get away from those outlets. Would you get away from that? Could you? How foolish that would be. But yet, so many times, we do the same things. We act the same way. Maybe it's your husband or your wife that is having to tell you to stay away from the outlet. Maybe it's your pastor that is having to tell you stay away from the outlet. You see, God knew where Adam and Eve were. He came down to walk with them. We read there in Genesis 5 that Enoch walked with God. Let me read you some other. Go over to Genesis chapter number 17. In Genesis 17, it says, when Abram, verse number 1, when Abram was 90 years old and 9, so here we have a 99-year-old man, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. So here we have a command given from God to Abraham. Walk thou before me. Abraham, I want you to walk where I walk. We read over in Genesis 24 and verse number 40. It says, and he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk. Here we have Abraham now. Abraham learned his lesson. He was told over in Genesis 17:1, Abraham, walk thou before me. And now we come over here many years later, and we see Abraham, and he is recounting, he's giving his testimony, and he said, the Lord before whom I walk. So he listened. He found where God walked, and he walked beside him. You could write down in your notes Amos chapter 3 and verse number 3, a verse that you're probably familiar with. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? You know, I can say to you, hey, listen, I'm going to walk down here to Circle K to get a Mountain Dew. Would you want to go with me? And some of you, man, you'd raise your hand up and say, absolutely, I'd love to go down there to Circle K. And so we step out the door, we get out there to the street, and I turn right and you turn left. And I say, hey, wait a minute, what are you doing? We're walking down here to Circle K. And you say, yeah, I'm just going to go that way. I'm like, but it's down here. It's to the right. I'll get there this way, though. You're not in agreement. You're certainly not walking together. We look at the Lord and we say, all right, Lord, what do you want me to do? Which way do you want me to go? And he says, here's where I want you to go. Here is the path that I have prepared for you. Would you walk in it? Oh, absolutely. And then you turn around and you walk the other way. I read the other day a testimony of an individual who was talking about his salvation, the day that he got saved. And I know he didn't intend to say this. He said, that day revolutionized my life. He said, I made a 360 degree turn in my life that day. Now, I pray he meant to say, I made a 180 degree turn and I walked the other direction. But I got to thinking, I kind of chuckled to myself. I thought, I wonder how many people did that when they got saved. They made a 360 degree turn and they just continued walking the same direction that they were walking before they got saved. You see, we need to walk with God. But you say, where does God walk? What's a good question? I did some studying. Let me tell you some things. The term walk with God. I wanted to find out, where does the Bible say walk with God? Man, I've been told all of my life, walk with God. So I wanted to find them. And so I got ready to look at all of them. And it's nowhere in the Bible. You do not find the term walk with God. If you have a computer concordance, many of you do, you put those words in there and you don't say just find any of these words, but find all of them right next to one another. Walk with God. It'll give you zero results. Because that exact terminology is not found in the Bible. Are we not supposed to walk with God then? Oh, no. Far from it. We are still supposed to walk with God. What I'm trying to say is you can't do a word search and find walk with God in the Bible. I thought, well, how about walk after? I'll walk after. I'm supposed to follow the Lord. How about if I walk after? So I did a word search. I'm like, ha ha, found some. Good. Let's look them up. And I found the first one in Job. And it says, I walked after mine eyes. That doesn't sound like walking with God. I went to the second one in Jeremiah chapter 2. It says, walked after vanity. I thought, well, that doesn't sound like walking after God. So I thought, well, maybe the next one in Jeremiah 3. It says, walked after things. I began to see a theme. I went to Jeremiah chapter 9. It says, walked after imagination. I went to Jeremiah 16, it says, walked after other gods. I went to the next one, it says, in Ezekiel 16, it says, walked after their ways. The last one I came to, is they had walked after. I found in Hosea 5, and I thought, finally, it says, walked after the commandment. But when you read the context, it's talking about a man named Ephraim, and he followed bad advice. It wasn't God's commandment that he followed. Are we supposed to walk with God? Most certainly. Without any question. When I looked up walk with, things changed. See, God wants me to walk with Him. Now, yes, I'm supposed to follow God. But God wants me to walk with Him. God wants a relationship. He is a leader. But He wants a relationship. He is not the drill sergeant that you had when you went into the military that didn't want to be your buddy. Didn't want to be your friend. He wore the t-shirt, I'm the one your mama warned you about. That was him. See, God's not that way. God wants to walk with you. The first three occurrences of the Bible walked with God. All three speak of not only a person that's no longer with us. The first two were Enoch. The third is Noah, found in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 9. We find these passages of individuals who were walking with God. If you turn in your Bible, write it down. I'll not have you turn there Micah chapter number 6, if you want to go there. Micah chapter number 6. I would rather you listen to the verse. Not that I don't want you to turn there, but I know it might take a little bit here. It's teaching us here in Micah. It's referring to when Balak consulted with Balaam in verse number 5 of Micah chapter number 6. It's talking about how Balaam taught Balak to have the children of God cursed. When you get down to verse number 8, it says in verse number 8, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. Talking here about God. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. God has blessed you and I. Let's walk with Him. But you'll notice a key word, humbly. Let's walk humbly with God. Because even though I may be walking with Him, He is still the leader. I can't be the leader. I think dogs are probably all the same. We've got a little dog, you know, that every now and then I get to take out for a walk. And it's kind of funny, you know, that little dog, you know, we have the same kind of little trail that we always go. But we get to an area where we've never gone before. And man, he'll just take out, he's up there, and then suddenly he'll stop. And look back just to make sure that, are you still there? You going, is this the way we're going? Is this, we'll turn a corner. He'll turn a corner, and I'm not there yet, and he'll stop, and he'll look back. Is this right? You know, all dogs are the same. Don't get so gooey over a dog. He's a punting dog. No. But you see, sometimes we don't have the humility when we walk with God. Sometimes we want to be in the leadership until we realize, wait a minute, maybe this isn't the direct. And I pray that we realize that we wake up and we look back and we say, Lord, I don't even know where I'm going. Is this the direction that I'm supposed to go? I've got some things I want you to write down. If I am to walk with God, where does God walk? I want you to write down number one, He walks where He is welcome. God walks where He is welcome. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. I'm looking at the clock and I'll promise you, can I encourage you to come back tonight? I'm going to have to finish this message tonight. Because I don't want to cut this short and just and not preach all of the message, because I believe that these are some things that will really help us. So you say, well, I'm not prone to coming back on a Sunday night. Could I encourage you to? You say, well, I don't get out and I don't drive at nighttime. I beg you, would you tell me after the service? I already have people that have volunteered. I'll pick someone up. We would love to pick you up, bring you to church tonight, and take you back home. I want you to be back tonight. I'm not just trying to build a crowd. I want you to learn these things. Where does God walk? Number one, He walks where He is welcome. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Look, if you would, at verse number 14. We'll just start right there. Verse number 14, the Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Verse number 16 says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God, now watch, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. If you go on to verse number 17, it says, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Do we have an understanding here of who's talking? Do we have an understanding that this is the Lord God Almighty? That He spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light. That He spoke and the world that did not exist immediately was formed out of absolutely nothing. Do we understand that we're talking about the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah of heaven? We're not just talking about a man that had a lot of good sayings that they wrote down in a book and preserved for generations. We're talking about the King of Kings. We're talking about the Lord of Lords. We're talking about God Almighty. That is saying to us, listen, I will walk where I am welcomed. God knows where He's welcomed and He knows where He's not welcomed. He knows where He belongs. You don't have to tell God, Lord, sorry, but you don't belong here. You don't belong here. Now understand, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God indwelled you. Biblically speaking, biblical truth, you carry the Holy Spirit with you everywhere you go. You can find other scripture that Jesus Christ indwells you. You can find other scripture that God Himself indwells you. You cannot separate God from Jesus, from the Holy Spirit. So when you got saved, you became the temple of God. So no matter where that temple goes, God goes with you. But I can imagine that many times you would have to say, you know what, Lord, listen, I'm going to step in here. And I know you, this isn't where you belong. You don't need to come in here. You just stay out here at the curb and I'll be out in a little while. See, God knows where He's welcome. God knows also where He is not welcome. In verse number 14, go back up to it. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Understand this. When you try to mix the filth of this world with the purity of God, God knows He's not welcomed. When you try to mix the filth of this world with the purity of God, God is not fooled. God is not mocked. He knows that that's an area where He is not welcome. His blessings are not upon those that try to mix the filth of the world with the purity of God. He knows that that is not a place where He will give His blessing. I've got several things written down that as society we try to blend together. The one that always seems to come to my mind almost immediately in a church setting is that of music. We've already read here about not being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We've already talked about the fellowship of righteousness with unrighteousness, so that there can be none. That there can be no communion with light and darkness. That there is no concord with Christ and Belial. Nothing with the believer and the infidel. We are to come out from among them and be separate. So when it comes to to godly music, music that will lift our hearts toward heaven and that will stir our soul, not just our flesh. You see, God understands music and Satan understands music. Both of them understand it far better than you or I do. The power of music is unmistakable. There are those that study music and the effect that music has on us as human beings. It affects us. It even affects plants. There's a great deal of power in music. But you see, when we try to take a handful of God and mix that together with a handful of the world's filth and put them together and blend them into music, I promise you this, God knows that He's not welcome there. There is no blessing of God on that type of music. Maybe you say, or maybe you've heard of individuals before that they say, "Oh well, I believe that we can coincide with science, and I believe that creation and evolution can exist side by side, and that we can believe both of them, that they can just they can live in their own little space, and therefore I'm not going to offend someone that might believe evolution, and they won't offend me that I might believe creation." Folks, there is no communion there. There is no fellowship there. I'll promise you this. Just as a moment ago, we talked about God stepping out onto nothing and creating light and creating the earth and creating all of the plants and all of the animals and all of the water. And then finally, His greatest creation that He alone says, that of mankind, that which was made in His image. Three parts. Body, soul, spirit. My body. Physical body, my soul, that which will reside either in heaven or in hell. My spirit, the personality that makes me, me. That makes you, you. Only mankind has that. My little dog that I just talked about, he has a physical body and he has that personality. Sometimes he's the cutest little dog. Other times he's a cat. Man, the dog is a cat. He doesn't, I'm serious. You know, you people, you love your cats, but cats rule the world. And you say, here, kitty, kitty, kitty. And the cat looks at you and goes, that little dog said, hey, come here, Woody, come here, come here. Like, dogs are supposed to jump up on your lap and love you. And, anyway. I must have a thing about my dog. Yeah, right. Listen, a dog only has a body and a spirit. There's no soul. All dogs don't go to heaven. Plants just have a body. They have no spirit. There's no will. When's the last time you saw a plant get offended? Now, the plants that I put at the back door, that they were at the front door, they must have got offended because they're dead. I can kill any plant. I can kill plants that are already dead. We just replaced these trees up here because I killed the other two that were up there. Listen, we have to understand God. You're not going to say, well, let's believe a little bit of creation and a little bit of evolution. No, the two are at opposite ends. The two are at opposite ends. You're never going to combine the purity of God and the lust of the flesh. You'll never combine those two. The purity of God and the lust of the flesh will never coincide. The purity of God and the lust of the flesh will never walk together. The purity of God that God expects us to maintain, that God expects us in holy matrimony, that God expects that I as a husband am pure to my wife, and that before I was a husband, I did not have a relationship and I kept myself pure until my wife, and my wife the same, not giving herself out in parts and pieces, but rather at that time where we said I do, praise the Lord, God intended it to be that way. He prescribed it that way. He ordained it that way. But then we, with the lust of the flesh, we try to pervert it. We try to say, well, we can have an alternative lifestyle. It doesn't have to be me and her. It can be him and him. Or it can be her and her. Or some say, well, I would never do that. I would never defile myself that way. But yet we've got thousands and millions who will defile themselves before they ever get to the altar of marriage. They'll defile themselves with who knows how many different ways. Through the eyes or through the flesh. After the marriage commitment has been made, how many hundreds, thousands, millions, I don't know, will defile themselves with the lust of the flesh. You'll never combine the purity of God with the lust of the flesh. God doesn't walk there. Don't throw out your trash on your porch and ask God to clean it up. You will never combine the contentment that God expects from us. And this morning in Sunday school, we talked about contentment. You will never combine contentment that God expects for us with the lust of the eyes. The Bible talks about the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. You'll never combine the contentment that God expects from us with the lust of the eyes, because the lust of the eyes, that means I'm constantly looking, what else do I want that I don't have? Who's out there? We talk about the purity before marriage. The lust of the eyes is going to be looking around saying, maybe there's something out here great. And then after the marriage, continuing to look around, hey, God forbid that you would be that way, because I'll promise you this, God's not walking with you at that point. Where does God walk? He walks where He's welcomed. You'll not combine the purity of God with the lust of the flesh. You'll not combine the contentment of God with the lust of the eyes. And you will not combine the humility that God asks of us, yea, demands of us. You'll not combine the humility with the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The three same things that caused Eve to fall in the Garden of Eden are the same three things that Satan uses for 6,000 years now. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And you will not combine the humility that God demands from us with the pride of life. You see, God's not going to be welcome there. If I'm supposed to walk with God, I need to find out, where does God walk? He walks where He is welcomed. He walks where He is welcomed. You're not going to combine your love of money being the root of all evil with the contentment of God, with the joy of the Lord, with the happiness that He is supposed to give. You're not going to combine it because all you think about is the next dollar bill that you'll be able to stuff in your pocket. You see, by the way, you're not going to be able to say, well, I didn't know. Hey, you will not be able to stand before God one day and say, I didn't know what you expected of me, Lord. I didn't know what you expected of me. He's going to say, I gave you the Bible. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Isn't that what they say? B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving earth. I already told you what I expected of you. Oh, well, I didn't know. I didn't know. I didn't know. I was ignorant. I plead ignorance. Can I point something out to you? If you try to plead ignorance of Scripture as the reason that you go ahead and live the life that you want to live and say, who cares about what God wants? If you try to plead ignorance before God one day, can I point out to you that the root word of ignorance is ignore? You ignored it. It's not that it wasn't presented to you. You ignored it. You plead ignorance, that means I knew it was there, but I ignored it. I didn't want to recognize it. I didn't want to recognize Scripture. I didn't want to recognize that there is a place that God has for me, that He wants me to walk beside Him, that He wants me to walk with Him, that He wants me to follow in His steps. I plead ignorance. Oh, you plead ignorance because you'll just ignore it. We've got many who will ignore the message this morning. We've got many who will ignore a similar message over years and years of their life. They ignore Scripture. They ignore the clear teaching of the Word of God. They ignore what they know is already wrong in their heart. For the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I promise you, every single area of your life where you fail before God is because you have the lust of the flesh and you ignore the clear teaching against that. You have the lust of the eyes and you ignore the clear teaching against that. And you have the pride of life and you ignore God begging you to humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. And He shall exalt you in due time. Where does God walk? He walks where He is welcome. I'll not have you turn to write these verses down. You're there in 2 Corinthians 6. Look at verse number 16. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple. Ye are the temple. Ye are the temple of the living God. With the day that you got saved, you became the temple of the Lord God. You say, well, you talk about this word being saved. What, Pastor, what do you mean? The Bible says that the wage of sin is death. First of all, we're all sinners. I hope that you understand that. There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Scripture then teaches me that the wages of sin is death, not physical death. Hey, listen, the consequence of my sin is not physical death. The consequence of the sin of Adam and Eve wasn't physical death. The immediate consequence was the death of their soul. Their physical body continued to live. They were removed from the tree of life so that they one day would die physically. But the immediacy of death was their soul. Jesus Christ died so that you would not have to die the second death. The wages of sin is death in hell. In hell. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So God says, I will pay for a gift. I'll give it to you absolutely free. All you must do is trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Come to one point in your life where you realize you're on your way to hell because of your sin. Come to that same point where you understand that Jesus Christ not only hung on a cross for you, He shed His perfect blood for you. His soul was made a sacrifice in hell for you. But yet we have people that say, I think I'm good, I'll do all right. When I get to heaven, if God doesn't like what I've done, then He can send me to hell. I've had them tell me that. Well, let me let you in on a secret. God doesn't like what you've done.
Amen.
He will send you to hell. Let me correct that. You have already condemned yourself to hell according to Scripture. Jesus Christ did everything that He could possibly do to make it so that you could go to heaven. You humble yourself and you come before God and you say, "Dear Lord God, I'm on my way to hell. Oh, dear Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Lord, I realize now what it's done before You and I'm so sorry. And dear Lord, I understand that I could never be good enough. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." There again, that pride. God's demanding of us humility. "Lord, I want to receive Christ as my Savior. I realize that He died on the cross for my sin, and now I know that's why He died. If you didn't get saved, if you could work your way to heaven, then Jesus Christ died for no reason whatsoever. If all it took was you living a good life." See, you became a child of God. You're born again. You're saved. Maybe this morning there's someone here that needs to be saved. I said at the very beginning, oh, listen, if that's you, the auditorium, the majority, all but a very, very, very small select few, I have personally asked their testimony of salvation. Tell me when you got saved. Tell me what happened. I thank the Lord for the testimonies of salvation in this room. If you could not give a testimony of salvation, I promise you this, you are surrounded by people that would love for you to get saved today, to come and say, "I want to know how I can go to heaven." We'll have someone take you to one of the rooms off to the side, and they will show you from a Bible how you could be born again as Jesus said you must be if you want to enter into the kingdom of God. The day that you do that, your body becomes the temple of the living God, according to verse 16. As the temple of God, John chapter 10 teaches us that Jesus walks in the temple. Is God welcome in your temple? You say, "Well, I'm saved. I know I'm saved." Is God welcome in your temple? He's already there. But is He pleased with the condition of the temple? Is He pleased with it? Go over to 1 Corinthians real quickly here. We'll close. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. You're in 2 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Again, please, would you come back? I have so much more that the Scripture teaches about God walking. 1 Corinthians 3, look at verse number 16. Verse number 16, the Bible says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Your body is the temple the day that you got saved. Go over to chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 6, look at verses 19 and 20. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Where does God walk? God walks where He's welcomed. This morning, if you would say, "I want to walk with God. I want to walk with God," then you must make some decisions to walk where God is welcomed. You must make some decisions about your life that I will walk where I know God is welcomed. We'll finish tonight, but I cannot close without asking once again, do you know for sure you died today? We will all die one day. We prayed for a physician that had a skiing accident that very easily could have taken his life. Many have been killed in such accidents. I promise you, he didn't get up that morning thinking, "This is it, this is the last day." He got up that morning, was thought of nothing more probably than the fun that he was going to have on the slopes and watching his little girl ski. And there with his wife. And on that ride up, no matter how many times he'd gone up before, on that chairlift, oh, he's excited about it. He's got probably one of his daughters beside him. His wife has a daughter beside her on the next chairlift. And they get off and they start skiing down. And he says just those famous last words like I did. "Hey, watch this." As I did with my brothers, went over that jump. Thought I did so good, only to dive off the edge of an embankment. Looked up like this and saw a tree coming right at me. Turned my head this way, my ski tip hit the tree, and the back of it came up and smacked me across the head. Man, I got up in snow up to my waist. I looked down. I'm thinking to myself, why is all this mud around me? Red mud. Man, they put me on the back of one of those little stretchers. You know, the ski patrol? My brother, we were going down double diamonds. My brothers couldn't keep up with the ski patrol. We were going so fast, man. He had no idea. It could easily have taken his life. What I'm saying is this morning, you have no idea when your last breath is going to be. Will the very next moment, will you be in heaven or will you be in hell? For those that believe I'm a good person, I'm sure I'll get there. The very first thought that you have when you step out of this life is how wrong I was. You'll get your doctrine straight within the first second of hell. You'll understand Bible doctrine. You'll understand the truth of the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ having taken your place. Oh, but you can avoid that. You can avoid that by coming to an old-fashioned altar, allowing someone to take you to the side, take a Bible and show you how you can be born again. The entire reason that Jesus Christ, the only reason that He came to this earth was so that you could go to heaven. Yep. The only reason that He was born and we celebrate Christmas, the only reason that He died, rose from the dead, and we celebrate Easter, the only reason that He did any of that, the only reason that we have a Bible in our hands is so that you could be born again, know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and spend eternity in heaven. But how many times we have people that say, "Ah, it's a good story, but it's not for me." I beg you, folks, would you make it for you? It was written for you. Would you decide it's for you this morning? Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for the time, the opportunity to spend, Lord, in Your Word. And dear God, of course, as we're going to finish this tonight, I pray that You would help us, Lord, to see how true it is. Lord, I pray that if there is one here that has never trusted Jesus Christ, Lord, if they have no idea where they would spend eternity, please, dear God, I beg You, Lord, would they decide this morning, I'm no longer going to live in a question with a question on my eternity. I know that I can get it settled according to the Bible. I just need to be shown how. Lord, I pray that if there is that one person here this morning that needs to have that answer, that they would say, I must know. Dear Lord, it might be that someone is here today that has lived their life living it for themselves, not caring about what You would want. Lord, not caring where You walk, but only caring where their steps take them. I pray, dear God, that they would humble themselves. Lord, they need humility as much as the one who is lost. Lord, they need to humble themselves under Your hand that they could see that You have a very clear path for them to take. Lord, I pray that we would walk where we are welcomed. Lord, where You are welcomed. This morning your heads are bowed. Please, no one looking around. Let me ask you a simple question. Please listen. Please listen. I'm going to ask you how you know, if you know whether you'd go to heaven or not. Can you say this morning, Pastor Sears, I know without a question. I know that I'm saved. I remember the day I got saved. No one is looking around. Would you slip your hand up right now? According to the question, I know that I'm saved. I remember the day that I got saved. I remember it. Please don't raise your hand if you don't know. I know though. I know. Well, thank you for that. You can put your hands down. There were some that could not or did not raise your hand. Please, would you listen to this last question? Would you be willing to come forward and let someone take a Bible and show you how you could be born again? Show you how you could know where you will spend eternity? I'll promise you, the Bible was not written so that we could guess. The Bible was written so that we could know. Oh, would you let someone show you? Is that you this morning? No one's looking around. Would you slip your hand up? Anyone this morning, slip your hand up. Please do not let pride be the reason that you'll spend eternity in hell. Please do not let pride be the reason that you will miss the greatest gift that was ever purchased for you. And dear Lord, You've seen our hands this morning. Lord, You know our hearts, the condition of our hearts. Lord, whether we walk with You or not, I pray, dear God, that You would help us to see that we must. Lord, please, we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Stand, if you would, defeat the piano, we'll begin playing. I will not linger the invitation. Oh, but would you come this morning? Would you be willing to walk where God is welcomed? Would you be willing to walk where He is welcomed? Oh, would the decision be made today? I'll give up on my path, and I'll walk the way God expects me to walk. You come this morning as she plays. Oh, please. You say, I don't know if I'm saved. Would you come this morning? I beg you. Would you allow someone to show you how you can know that heaven is your home? There is no greater joy. There is no greater joy than to know where you spend eternity. Don't live another moment. Don't go another day. Don't breathe another breath If you say, I don't know, it's because you choose to ignore what God has already done. Would you come this morning? She'll play one more verse. Oh, would you come?